Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
I want to talk about Donald Trump. I really do. It's not because I'm being paid to. I want to talk about Donald Trump. He's president of the United States, and on Saturday he will have been president of the United States for 100 days. I think he is like a car crash. You know you shouldn't look. You don't want to look, but you can't help yourself, because I find him endlessly fascinating and also endlessly disturbing all at the same time. So there you go. That's my report card for Donald Trump's first 100 days. He's been as nuts as I expected him to be. Nothing he has done has surprised me. And I look forward to more. What about you? 0345 6060973. What's your report card, as they say in the States, for Donald Trump as President of the United States? 84850, the number to text. You can tweet at LBC. Later on, we'll hear from Ambassador Christopher Hill, former US Ambassador to South Korea. And we'll talk, obviously, about North Korea with him. He was also a former US Ambassador to Iraq. So we'll touch on a lot of the foreign policy stuff with Ambassador Christopher Hill. And Christine Whitman will join me later on as well, former head of the US Environmental Protection Agency. We touched for a few minutes yesterday on the moves that Donald Trump has made on environmental issues. But it'll be interesting to hear from the woman who held that position previously and get her sense of what Donald Trump is doing on the environment. First, though, our very own Simon Marks, LBC's Washington correspondent. What do you make of my report card, Simon?
Well, I'm very glad, Sheila, to hear that your fascination with Donald Trump is unbowed, suggests that my position here is secure, at least for as long as he's still in the White House. Let me also digress very briefly to tell you that Christine Todd Whitman's a very interesting character. I know you're going to be talking to her later. She was often described as the Margaret Thatcher of America, and people used to think that she might become America's first female president. So hearing what she, a Republican, has to say about Donald Trump will, I think, be very interesting. Look, President Trump's made headlines here. It's his 99th day in office. Tomorrow will be day number 100. And he has conceded in an interview with Reuters that, as he put it, "I thought it would be easier." He says that he had a very difficult job before he became president of the United States, but this has been harder than that job of running the Trump organization. The balance sheet inevitably is mixed. It would be too easy to say, you know, everything has been a failure, everything has been a disaster. He has made good on some of his promises. The economy has not collapsed. He argues that he's helped keep jobs in the United States. He has withdrawn from the Trans-Pacific Partnership as he promised he would do. He is trying to roll back the number of regulations that he argues tie America's industry up in knots. He's put restrictions in place on the lobbying that can be done by government officials after they leave government. He's appointed a Supreme Court judge. He has cracked down on illegal immigration into the country, reducing the numbers of people coming into the country to much lower levels than they were at before. So that's, from Donald Trump's perspective, the positive side of the balance sheet. But there are a lot of negatives out there. He was elected promising to reform and repeal Obamacare. He has failed to do it. He was elected promising to close America's borders to Muslims. He hasn't been able to do it. The courts have blocked him. He promised to stop federal funding going to so-called sanctuary cities, where refugees and illegal immigrants find themselves being offered some level of sanctuary. The courts have stopped him from doing that. And of course, he promised he was going to get on with the job of building that wall along the US border with Mexico. He has had to withdraw a request for funding right now for that from Congress. He says he will come back to it later. And of course, foreign policy, you know, there is no cogent Trump doctrine that you can identify.
Yeah, and to say something, I think, as irresponsible as, oh, you know, we could be heading for a really, really big conflict with North Korea. To say that loosely and publicly is just, it's folly. It's insanity.
But I think that is the overriding story of the Trump administration, because, you know, to a great degree, we have seen such a seismic shift here in Washington between all the administrations that preceded Donald Trump, Democrat and Republican and the Trump administration. And the overriding hallmark of this administration, quite honestly, is that it's often amateur hour. There are thousands of positions that have been unfilled. The Secretary of State Rex Tillerson yesterday conceded that it'll be the end of 2018 before he fills hundreds of senior positions at the State Department. Now, if you say, as Rex Tillerson has suggested just within the last few hours, that you want to engage in diplomacy on the issue of North Korea, notwithstanding Donald Trump's argument to
Reuters
last night.
You're going to need a few diplomats at your disposal.
You need diplomats to do the diplomacy. Mm. They don't have the diplomats, and they don't even appear to have a plan to hire them. Couple that with the tweeting president, who at any time, day or night, will say anything that comes into his head after he's been enraged by what he sees on America's cable news channels, and you have a government that is operating in a far less professional, far less methodical, far less logical way. And as a result, governments all around the world, including, of course, the British government, have to get used to the fact that life here now is just very different.
And I see, just for the purposes of keeping abreast of news while we chat, I see a live feed here of the United Nations, a meeting of the United Nations, our own Foreign Secretary Boris Johnson there, the Secretary General speaking. Rex Tillerson has just finished speaking. They're addressing North Korea and the issues there. But in that interview that you mentioned that he gave, I also thought it was quite interesting that he said, yes, I miss my old life. And then, of course, yes, there was a flurry of tweets from people saying, yeah, so do we. we miss life before your presidency as well. And Heidi Lee Feldman says, as far as I can tell, Trump is largely living his previous life, TV, watching, golfing, visiting his properties and giving jobs to family. Bravo, Heidi.
Well, there is certainly that. And there is certainly, I think, the ongoing series of questions about the extent to which the president has meaningfully separated himself from his business empire. You know, every weekend when he heads down to Florida, invariably, and goes golfing at the Mar-a-Lago estate or hosts foreign leaders at the Mar-a-Lago estate, that is, in a way, boosting the fortunes of his own Trump organization and is burnishing, for example, the image that what he now refers to as the Southern White House has among members and would-be members. And
nice,
of course,
PR.
There are ongoing questions about Ivanka Trump, Jared Kushner, many of the business ties that they have that don't appear to have been completely cleaned up or in any way contained as they begin to take on larger roles in the White House. So there are those ethical questions swirling around this president. And of course, the drumbeat, the percussive drumbeat, which is not going to go away, of the constant inquiries into alleged collusion between the Trump campaign last year and the Russian government. The news yesterday of that Pentagon investigation being launched into payments that Michael Flynn, the president's former national security advisor, received from the Russian government, that is part and parcel of that percussive drumbeat. And we'll see if it gets louder during the remaining course of the Trump presidency or if the White House does find a way of making it go away.
Stay with us, Simon. I'm just going to remind people of the number to ring for them to give me their update, their report on the first 100 days of Donald Trump, their assessment of the first 100 days of Donald Trump's presidency. 0345 6060973 is the number to call. You can text 84850 or tweet at LBC. That interview you talked about a few moments ago with Reuters about how he had found life as president, let's have a listen to a little of it.
Well, I loved my previous life. I had so many things going. I actually, this is more work than in my previous life. I thought it would be easier. I thought it was more of a, I'm a details-oriented person, I think you would say that. But I do miss my old life. This, I like to work, so that's not a problem. But this is actually more work. And while I had very little privacy in my old life, because, you know, I've been famous for a long time, this is much less privacy than I've ever seen before. I mean, this is, you know, something that's really amazing. At the same time, you're really into your own little cocoon because you have such massive protection that you really can't go anywhere.
That bug yet?
I was able to go out to restaurants, and even though people knew who I was, I like to what?
You like to drive.
Yeah, I like to drive. I can't drive anymore.
That's interesting, isn't it, the way he talks about the life? Because the reality for any president, you know, and I'm being hard on him because I find him as bizarre as the most bizarre thing ever. But the reality for any American president is that this ring of security closes around you. I was listening to David Axelrod on the radio earlier talking about the moment Obama officially became president during his first campaign. And he said, and the mood in the room changed dramatically in an instant. So,
absolutely.
You know, love him or loathe him, Trump will have experienced the same.
Yes, and that ring not only encloses you while you're president, it encloses you after you leave the presidency. I've got bad news for Donald Trump. He's never going to drive again. Former presidents of the United States are not permitted by their Secret Service handlers to drive a car. The only exception that's been made to that is George W. Bush when he drives his own truck on his own ranch. But there's no question of putting the family in the back of the car and heading off to the diner on a Saturday night for cheeseburgers. Those days are over for him, not just in the presidency, but after he leaves it. It's also very apparent to everyone who watches him here on a daily basis. And you can really see this in detail if you read the text of the interview that he gave a few days ago to the Associated Press, that he craves the limelight, but he also craves being liked. And in that Associated Press interview, more so even than in the Reuters interview, every time he's asked about the meetings that he's had with various world leaders, Shinzo Abe of Japan, Angela Merkel of Germany, our very own Theresa May, his answers about how the meetings went are always couched in terms of whether he felt that the person he was dealing with
liked him.
It reminded me a lot of that Arthur Miller play Death of a Salesman. You remember Willy Loman? He wants to be well liked. And that is true of this president. There's no question about it.
I think we all want to be well liked, but we don't pathologize it. We don't become obsessed if somebody doesn't like us.
Well, and we don't talk about it all the time. I mean, you know, we might all want to be well-liked privately, but this idea that you publicly make judgments about the way in which a geopolitical relationship with Xi Jinping of China is going, based on whether you get the feeling that he likes you or not, I mean, I don't even think that's the way it works in the world of business. It certainly doesn't work that way in the world of geopolitical relations. There are all sorts of leaders through history who have found ways of working together, even though they didn't particularly enjoy one another's company. For this president, it seems that the standard is very different.
Well, I like you, Simon, whether
and
you
like
me or not.
Sheila.
You like me, good. That's the main thing. LBC's Washington correspondent, thank you. Oh, this texter doesn't like me. Sheila, don't even try to mock the great Donald J. Trump. He is a disciple sent from God to clean this cesspit of a world up and will be remembered long after you are forgotten.